Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this morning we are still on our series, The God of Miracles. This is session 6, entitled Power Over Our Emotions. And I am so thankful that we have power, not just over things in the natural realm. We have power, it's spirit power, over our emotions. And I want to kind of dive into that a little bit this morning, because I think right now, if we ever needed to hear a word about how God is the one who has given us supernatural power and authority to bring our emotions into check, right now in this very emotionally high-charged hour, it is the time, maybe more than ever, to hear a message and hear some Bible verses that can anchor us into this reality, into this truth. And so the first thing I just want to start with is, we don't talk about this a lot. Maybe it's been mentioned here and there. But if you think about your life, the majority of your life is lived on the inside. The majority of you, who you are and your life, is actually lived between your ears. It's the things that you think. It's the things that you feel. It's the conversations you're having kind of in your inner monologue and with the Lord when nobody else is around. And so the majority of what's happening for you as a person is actually occurring internally. And so it would be the wisdom of God to give us authority over that internal conversation. It would be the wisdom of God to give us power that we wouldn't just be subject to whatever we're thinking or feeling, and we're just kind of stuck with whatever pops into our mind, whatever we're feeling today. We're just stuck in whatever river that is, that the Holy Spirit has given us authority over our mind, will, and emotions. This is really, really good news. And I think today we can kind of glean some tactics that the Holy Spirit's given us in order to be successful in this time where I know, man, I'm being bombarded with emotions. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them double bad. And so we need some tools this morning. First, I want to just start with the dignity of God giving us emotions. It's what makes us different from trees. It's what makes us different from the rest of the created orders. We have some complex emotions. These emotions are not bad. It is our glory that we have emotions. If you think about it, your emotions are really how you're able to experience anything. Not be in the room with whatever's happening, but experience what's happening in the room. It's through your emotions. And so without those emotions, we would kind of be like robots. And that's so not fun. So having emotions is really, really sweet. It's good. It's powerful. It's the dignity of man that we have human emotions. The whole, spread of emotions, emotions protect us. Emotions allow us to experience the heights of humanity. I mean, emotions are really awesome. But as it is with all, good things, there's also another side that we have to be careful about. Otherwise, any good thing can wind up taking us down a wrong road if we're not careful. And I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about the vulnerability of our emotions. We can't just give in to our emotions. We've got to allow there to be some parameters related to our emotions. I've heard people say, well, I felt like this. And what they felt like doing was something totally ungood. Something totally out of bounds. Something totally outside of what the scripture says. Something that's totally bad for them. I felt like committing this heinous, act. Well, we can't just give in to our emotions. There's got to be a balance. So while emotions are incredible and a gift from the Lord, we can't just allow ourselves to be run by our emotions. That won't work. We cannot allow our emotions to run us. Instead, we're the owner of our emotions. We're in control of our emotions. And we run them and allow them to have the appropriate place in our lives and in practice. And it's important that we understand that, because if we're not careful, our emotions can take us out of bounds. And that's really the message this morning. We have power over our emotions, and the reason we need that power is because if we're not careful, if those emotions are left unchecked, they will take us out of bounds. Specifically, they'll take us out of truth, and they will overcome us. We want to be those that overcome our emotions. So I just want to give us John 17:15-17. And actually, what would be awesome is we put this verse up on the screen. Be really helpful if those of you who are joining us online could interact a little bit in, you know, the various ways, Facebook, Instagram, and let us know if you can read these verses at all. And maybe we need to make the font bigger or bolder, but we want to make sure that you can actually read these verses, because at least at the moment, this is what we have at our disposal for you to be able to track with the message. So the first verse that I want us to read is John 17, 15 through 17. And this is Jesus praying for the church. This is Jesus with great care praying for the church to be able to operate in its fullness. And he says, "My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one." Now, what does that protection from the evil one look like? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The way we are protected by the evil one is being sanctified by the word of God. What that means is the word of God are the boundary lines. If the word of God says, it's not okay to feel this and let that run rampant, then we need to be sanctified by what the word of God says and stay within the boundary lines of what the word says. We'll be sanctified by the truth. Jesus is saying, I don't want, Father, for you to take them out of the fight, out of the internal struggle, out of the bombardment of their minds getting hit and their emotions getting hit with things that are not really helpful. I don't want you to take them out of that environment. Instead, I want you to sanctify them by the word of God and empower them to take charge over their emotions by the truth. So it looks like this. We know what the word of God says about, we'll say fear. Okay, we'll touch on that one a little bit later. But we know what the word of God says about fear. Now our emotions are saying, be fearful, be fearful, be fearful. We have to allow what the word of God says about fear to sanctify us and say, no, I am not going to give in to fear. I'm going to follow the boundary lines of what the word of God says, and I'm going to allow the word to sanctify my emotions and help me identify some of the boundary lines. So this is like really good news. Jesus is okay with us being in the fight, but he just wants us to know how to fight. And the way that we fight is we know what the word of God says about the areas of our emotions, and we know where those boundary lines are. Say it similarly, John 8:32. Jesus says this in John 8:32, if we're able to get that verse up on the screen as well. John 8:32. Well, John 8:32, it's a short verse if you guys want to turn there. John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You will know the truth. We know the truth because Jesus just told us the word of God is truth. You'll know the truth, and that truth will give you freedom. It's not just the fact of the Bible, it's details of the Bible. The details of the Bible that you know are empowering for you to be able to fight the good fight. The details that you know about the Bible will be empowering. They will set you free from the power of the enemy over our emotions, even just without the enemy's supercharge. Just even we can get out of control with our own emotions. We can allow our own thoughts and feelings to just go to funny places. But the truth will set us free. So that's, again, another great parameter to help us to understand we do, in fact, have power over our emotions. It's by the truth, which is the corrective measure to our emotions so that they don't just run rampant and go wherever they want. Because, again, if we leave ourselves to our emotions without the check of the word of God, we'll wind up in funny places. We'll wind up out of bounds. Those out of bounds will cause us to say things we shouldn't, do things we shouldn't, think things we shouldn't, go places we should not go. Justify things and means and actions. We don't want that. We want the truth to set us free. And that's why we've been given the word of God. All right, now, I want to give us clear encouragement here. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, we have weapons. We are not in this fight alone. We have weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says this. Don't know that one either. Okay. Is it possible to pull up? Is there a way to do it live or nope, not at all? Okay, all right, okay. Just real quick, we're working out some details here as we go. Luke Fredenberg, can you email Luke Cooper the notes so that he has access to all the future verses so that he can pull them up if he can? Just bear with us, people. We'll get all this worked out. In the meantime, if you got, you know, a phone nearby or something, you can pull up a Bible app or go to a Bible Gateway. You can pull up 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 says this, the weapons we fight with. I love this. This is Paul, who understands what it means to be a Christian, understands what it means to disciple believers, understands what it means to walk with God. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with, the weapons we have access to, and the weapons we are supposed to be fighting with, says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, Paul here is talking to folk. He's talking to Christians. It's not like he's talking to super saints or to pastors only. He's talking to Christians, and he's saying, we have weapons to fight with, and it's a darn good thing that we do have weapons because we are, in fact, in a fight. And if we don't use those weapons, you're just going to get slapped around. We have got weapons, and these weapons have power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul here is telling us we have weapons, and these weapons are useful to demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Let me give you a simple interpretation of what that means. Thoughts, feelings, and emotions that are in contradiction to the purposes of God. Everything that sets itself up against the purposes of God, we have power to demolish those strongholds. How do we have that power? How does that power manifest? What does that look like? It looks like this. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every emotion and we make it obedient to Christ. We look at what thoughts, feelings, emotions are out of bounds, and we can identify those by knowing what the Word of God says, and we'll touch on some specifics here in a few minutes. We can know what those boundary lines are, and then we can look at what the Word says and go, I am thinking, feeling, longing for something that is different than what the Bible says. We can take those thoughts captive and we can make them obedient to Christ by practicing the truth that Jesus said will set us free, by practicing the truth which Jesus said will sanctify us. The Word of God has power to demolish every emotion, every thought, every desire that is in contradiction to the purposes of God, but we do it by making them obedient to Christ. And so I just want to tell us this way, this is fighting words. I mean, Paul here is using some pretty intense words. He's saying we make it obedient to Christ. He said we are in a spiritual fight. We have power to use weapons, but we have to use those weapons to demolish strongholds. He's using some strong language. I want to say it this way. If we don't use those weapons, we will lose those fights. And so some of you might be going, why do I feel like I always lose this fight? Or why do I always feel like I'm constantly being bombarded with this and I never can overcome it? We have to fight. And I don't know about you, fighting takes energy. Fighting, you feel a little beat up sometimes. Fighting, there's no way. Fighting is a tough thing to do. Fighting is like extremely trying. And so I want us to like recognize that it's a giant struggle that we're going to be in until the second coming. But we have power. We have weapons. We can win. I want to tell you this. You can win every single fight. But you have to fight. Now, that word stronghold, that ought to concern us a little bit. I think it's fair for us to be concerned by the word stronghold. I do not like the idea of a stronghold being connected to my life one itty-bitty bit. I don't like that at all. The concept of a stronghold being connected to my life, I want to give you a little touch point on that, how that works. The enemy doesn't have any stronghold in your life that you don't give him. The enemy doesn't have a single stronghold that you're not giving him. But let me tell you what that giving him looks like. It's the giving in to the little lies on the front end that seem insignificant. I feel angry. It's okay for me to feel angry because this bad thing just happened to me. You're giving in to anger, but we're not supposed to be angry. And we've got lots of Bible verses that talk about dealing with our anger in the right way and getting that out of us and confessing that so that anger doesn't build. Here's how a stronghold gets established. Think about like a little Lego castle, okay? And you're building it brick by brick. That Lego castle doesn't get assembled in 1 minute. It gets assembled Lego brick by Lego brick by Lego brick. And eventually you have a fortress, you have a stronghold. You didn't get that stronghold in 1 minute or 1 hour. You got that stronghold built brick by brick by brick. We want to be very careful that we are demolishing strongholds, not giving the enemy a place to be building them in our lives by giving into those lies. It's very possible for us to be doing great in one area and to be allowing the enemy to be building a stronghold in the area of our emotions in a different area. That he can actually have a stronghold there, but only a stronghold that we give him. And again, the way that that happens is we give him the permission by we believe the lie, or we don't deal with the issue, or we give into the emotion that we know God says, hey, it's not okay for you to go outside of these boundary lines. And we give in a little, and then we give in a little more, we give in a little more. Let me tell you this. This is how somebody winds up so far away from Jesus. This is how somebody who has a passionate life for the Lord, sometime down the road, you hear about the stories of when they were a young man or a young woman, and they were fiery for Jesus, and they were loving the Lord, they were pursuing, they were winning people to Jesus, and they were filled with love. And then you look at them 10, 20, 30 years later, and they're bitter, and they're shut down. And maybe they're just a pew sitter. They go to church, but they're a bump on a log. They're not doing anything for the kingdom. They're not even filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Like, it's like, what happened to you? A stronghold was built. It's one they permitted. But we have been given weapons to demolish strongholds. So it's important that we understand that. Okay, weapons that we've been given. Let's get into a few specifics here. The first one I want us to understand, and I love this one. I love this weapon that we've been given. It's the power when we feel anxious to instead feel God's peace. You know, right now anxiety is kind of like a little bit of the new normal. I mean, right now anxiety, I think everybody's feeling it a little low-level anxious, and we've got to make sure that that is not a growing stronghold in our life. But as a culture, I mean, if you've been to the grocery store, there ain't nothing on any of the shelves. People are being anxious. I mean, people are being crazy. Things are growing. This anxiousness is an incredible growing stronghold in our culture. And let me tell you what these weapons look like. We got to take captive every thought. Part of that is we're connecting to the Lord and we're praying to him. Part of that is rebuking, you know, things in our own heart. Part of that is praying for each other. Now, let me tell you a scenario that I've seen happen, I don't know how many times. I love this one. I use this one all the time, okay? In fact, as a default, if I don't know what else to do, I just pray this one, because it's not normal for people to walk around, as a rule, with the peace of God resting on them in a strong way. What's more normal is people to walk around a little anxious, a little mad, a little frustrated, a little this, a little that. I will pray for people all the time, and I'll pray it over myself, this Bible verse, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I don't know if we're going to be able to get that one up on the screen. Okay, apparently they're now in the comments on whatever streaming you're using. So if you can look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and then there's going to be a result. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what this looks like. You're in an anxious situation. You're feeling anxiety. God did not give us anxiousness. That's not from the Lord. We don't want to give into anxiousness. We don't want to make it sound like the situation is anxious, therefore I'm anxious, it's okay. It's not okay. Don't live anxious. Furthermore, when you see somebody out and about and they're anxious, you can pray this verse over them. I have seen it happen so many times where I or somebody I know is feeling so much anxiety, and I will pray this Bible verse over them. I pray in Jesus' name for the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Can I tell you what that phrase means? All understanding? Every circumstance. All understanding means coronavirus. All understanding means whatever bad thing is happening right now, everything that could be understood, everything that could be experienced, there is a peace of God which transcends it. I pray in Jesus' name for the release of the peace of God which transcends all understanding to guard the hearts and the minds of every person watching this right now in Jesus' name. You have power and authority to do that. These are the boundary lines of the Word of God. Power. The Word, truth sets us free. This is a truth. Anxiety is not truth. The peace of God which transcends every circumstance, that's truth. You can apply this Bible verse to your life and to the lives of those that are anxious. This is so powerful. This is one of the weapons we've been given. This is a weapon to demolish strongholds. Anxiety is a stronghold. We can demolish it. We can be set free in the midst of that anxious circumstance. The circumstance doesn't even change. The circumstance is the same. But your mind, will, and emotions are sanctified. And you can walk in that circumstance with power. I'm just telling you right now, I like seeing God do miracles in my natural circumstances. I love seeing God do a healing. I love seeing God do a supernatural thing here or there. I can't think of anything more practical for every Christian than this teaching. I mean, for a Christian that's walking through life and trying to figure out how can I tap in to the power of God, to the strength of God, he has given us power through the sanctifying word to apply the sanctifying word to our circumstances, including anxious ones. The next one I want to give you, pray for the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 and Isaiah 40:31. I think it's in your comment section. Let me tell you this. We all experience, you know, the anger of the day instead of the joy of the Lord. We all experience the sad of the moment, the mad of the circumstance. I want to experience the joy of the Lord, and it's our portion. You can pray for the joy of the Lord. This is another one of those weapons we've been given. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Isaiah 40:31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, here's what's great about this. This is super encouraging. This is talking about the joy of the Lord is our strength, not the strength of you is your strength, not your understanding is your strength. The joy of the Lord, how joyous is God right now in heaven? He's not impacted by this coronavirus. It's not changing his mood, all right? He is still love. He is still joy-filled. He is still elated. He is still in love with you. The joy of the Lord, which is unchangeable, you have access to that. And that joy doesn't just get to be your joy. That joy gets to be your strength. You have the power in any moment, in any situation, to take authority over the situation, to take authority over your emotions, to take authority over your mind and your will, and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I embrace the joy of the Lord. I pray that you would baptize me with the joy of the Lord, and that that would then be power so that I don't have to feel these, you know, sad feelings. I don't have to feel these overwhelming, you know, feelings. I can have joy in the midst of a circumstance that doesn't necessarily call for joy. You have power. This is the best news ever, because normally we think of our circumstances as our life. We think of, I had a good day because three good things happened to me. I had a bad day because three bad things happened to me. You can have a good day every day because the joy of the Lord, which is unchangeable, can actually be your sustaining grace, and you can tap into it. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit's in the throne. The Holy Spirit lives in you. All you need to do is sanctify yourself by the truth, and the truth will set you free. You have power to demolish strongholds, and one of those is you can pray for the joy of the Lord to wash over you and to cover you. Next, you can pray for that strength of the Lord. Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16, I'm trying to give you some practical tools here. The first is pray for the peace of God. The second is pray for the joy of the Lord. Let's look now at pray for the strength of the Lord, related to the last one. But Ephesians 3:16 says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray he would strengthen you with power. There it is, a power that we have access to. We're praying for a God, for the God of miracles to do stuff. We have access to the power of God to strengthen us internally. You have that power. You have access. See, the problem is we've got all these weapons that are laying out kind of on the table, and we're not picking them up. So bad guys are coming and they're beating the snot out of us because we're not picking up weapons that we have access to. You have strength that is far beyond your own strength. You have access to it, but you do have to apply it. You have to take captive those thoughts. Take captive those emotions. You actually have to fight the fight. The fight we fight with. We fight with weapons that demolish strongholds, but we actually have to fight. So I want to encourage you to pray. That's what Paul did. I pray that out of the glorious riches, he's got so much to give. I pray that he would strengthen you with power in your inner being so that you don't have to feel weak, that you don't have to feel helpless. You don't have to feel like you can't. You can feel like you can because you've got access to a power that's greater than you. You didn't save yourself. Did you save yourself by your own might and strength? That came from someplace else. That same deposit, you have access to strength that is not your own, just like you have access to salvation that's not your own. You have power by asking the Holy Spirit, give me strength, empower me in my inner being that I might be strong and mighty in the Lord. Next, praying for clarity of mind. It's a confusing time right now. It's unclear. There are so many unknowns. But I want to tell you, you can pray to have clarity, and God will give you the mind of Christ. He will give you clarity. I promise you, Jesus is not confused right now. Jesus has great clarity. You can pray for clarity, and then you don't have to suffer of all of the confusion. Again, your circumstances might not change, but your perspective changes. I'll tell you what, I would rather have right perspective and bad circumstances than great circumstances and a bad perspective. I would way rather have right perspective so that I can see things clearly. You can have the mind of Christ, clear thinking. Let me give it to you here. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. I'm just going to read fairly quickly here. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Just imagine how much access the Holy Spirit has to understanding and to clear thinking. He has complete understanding. He searches even the deep things of God. Now, no one knows the thought of God, the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. We have received the Spirit who is from God so that we may understand. No one knows. No one can understand truth. No one. Because they come from the Spirit. Oh, but wait, we have the Spirit. So we can understand. But it's another one of those fight points. We're going to have to fight. It's not natural. We're taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words, things discerned only through the Spirit. We need the Spirit to give us clarity of mind. You don't get clarity of mind by thinking happy thoughts. You don't get clarity of mind by reading a book called Clarity of Mind. You get clarity of mind by getting the Spirit's perspective, by getting the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. You can pray, Holy Spirit, reveal things to me. Give me clarity. Give me the thoughts of God. Help me to see things clearly. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. We have the mind of Christ. I want you to think about this next time you're in confusion. And I want you to be praying. Pray for clarity of mind. Pray for the mind of Christ. Pray for the thoughts of God. You have power in your inner man. You're not a lost person. And if you are lost, give your life to Jesus this morning. Stop being lost. It's a futile fight. Give yourself over to Jesus. He has so much power and hope for you in this dark season. You'll have access to all this power that we're talking about. For those of you who've already made Jesus Lord and friend and Savior, you're not a lost person. You're not without hope. You're not without power. You have the mind of Christ, but you do have to apply it. You've got to access that truth and allow yourself to be sanctified by the fact that right now, in a dark moment, you can pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and understanding, and he'll do it. He'll give you clear thinking. That is power. I mean, a time like this where everybody's losing their mind, for there to be power and clarity and certainty, and for us to have access to that, that might be better than toilet paper right now. I mean, that might be more valuable. That's a greater commodity than even the hand sanitizer that's out at every store. I mean, that is a powerful commodity. Boldness. You know, right now and at other times in life, we have a tendency to shrink back. Shrink back about the kingdom of God. Shrink back about our assignment. Shrink back about who God is to us. Shrink back about, do we really believe that the word is true? There is so much right now that we are being tested to potentially shrink back, to not advance the kingdom anymore. Well, all this bad stuff's going on, so we'll just kind of like wait out the storm before the kingdom of God is valid again. We'll just wait for all this to be over, and when it's over, then we can do the kingdom of God thing again. There is such a tendency right now to shrink back and be all thinking of self-protection. And I just want to tell us, it's a time to be bold. Right now, can you just imagine the power of boldness in a scenario, in a system where boldness isn't anywhere? Where nobody's being bold, where nobody's saying anything. I mean, where it's like the word of God is being squelched in a way, where we're having to all go online, and before we know it, if we're not careful, we're going to be so insulated and unconnected to the lost world and unconnected to what's going on. It's a time to be bold. I want to give you the word of the Lord out of Acts 4, 29 through 31, a prayer for boldness, a prayer for boldness. And then boldness came. A prayer for boldness. You have access to boldness. Even though you might feel so stretched right now, you might feel like, oh man, we just need to wait this storm out. We'll get back to the kingdom of God in a minute. Or man, I don't know that I really want to step out in faith in that way. I don't really know what to do with this. I'm not really sure. You might be feeling all these temptations of shrinking back. I want to tell you, you have power right now to pray for boldness, and God will release boldness in your spirit. Let's read Acts 4, 29 through 31. Acts 4, 29 says this, Lord, it's a prayer, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Enable us, help us. We need boldness from heaven. We don't have the boldness, we need the boldness. Baptize us with boldness. It's a weapon that we've been given to demolish strongholds. We're asking you for boldness to come down and give us something we don't have. Give us heavenly boldness. Baptize us with boldness. And then it says this, after they'd prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They didn't speak the word of God boldly because they gave themselves a pep talk. They spoke the word of God boldly because they knew where boldness came from. It came from God. And they knew boldness was the way to overcome the fear to shrink back. That's what the early church was dealing with. This giant fear of shrinking back from the assignment. This giant fear of shrinking back from advancing the kingdom. And they go, oh God, we know in our hearts we're supposed to advance the kingdom, but you gotta help us because we're all about to quit. We're all fearful. We're afraid of what might happen to us. We're afraid. These are uncertain times. Right now, this isn't uncertainty by comparison to the early church that just started, that doesn't even have any frame of reference of what the church is. That's uncertain. In that moment, they prayed, oh God, we want to continue to see the kingdom matter, the kingdom be a daily reality. Give us boldness to do it. And then they were baptized with boldness, and they went out and they spoke the word of God boldly. You have weapons to demolish strongholds. That is so stinking powerful. It's game-changing. It's emotion changing. It's humanity changing. It's life changing. You have power within you. And similarly, you can pray for faith, not fear. You know this verse. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. There it is again. We don't have the spirit of fear, this emotion of fear, owned by fear, being dominated by fear. Instead, we have power to demolish fear. We have power, the spirit of power of love and of a sound mind. There it is again, the power over our mind, the power over our will, the power over our emotions. God gave us dignity in human emotions, will, and whatever the other one was I just said. He gave us power over those, but and has given those, but we don't have to succumb when those things will lead us out of bounds. Instead, we can apply the word of God and wind up in a place of strength. Here's what I want to leave us with. You have power to pray for faith over fear. You have power to pray for boldness, to pray. There's a bunch of others. I didn't go through an exhaustive list. I gave you, whatever, 5 or 6 examples. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Right now, especially, because these are tumultuous times. I mean, these are untested. We don't know what to do with all this. This is new for us. In these times, there are going to be many emotions that you are going to feel. And we need to make sure that those emotions are not running the show. You are in charge. You have power over your mind, will, and emotions. You have power. And God gave us that power, so that we can both have the emotions. So that we could feel the sadness at the loss of a friend. That we could feel the excitement. We could feel the emotions of excitement, of anticipation of something cool is going to happen tomorrow. That we could feel the joy of a friend, you know, that we haven't seen in a while. That we could experience life. That we could have the dignity of emotions, but that we would have power over them so they don't run us. So that they are not in charge. Your emotions are not in charge. You're in charge. The Holy Spirit has given us power to demolish strongholds. And I want to encourage you to apply the Word of God. It is by it that you have been set free. It is by the truth that you are sanctified and you have power over your emotions. And right now, as we're in this series on miracles, I want to encourage you, go after the day-to-day miracles. Start praying these things for your friends. Start praying for these things for the person in the grocery store. You see that lady in the grocery store that comes up on the toilet paper aisle and she needed toilet paper and there's no toilet paper and you see her. You say, ma'am, can I pray for you for a moment? I want to pray for you that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, including a toilet paperless aisle, would guard your heart and your mind in Christ and watch the kingdom of God fall right there in the middle of the grocery store. Let's start seeing miracles in our declaration of what the Word of God says, which is in complete contradiction many times with what people's emotions are feeling. You can change their day. You can change their eternity. Let's do some miracles, people. Let's use the power of God, the weapons which we've been given to demolish strongholds, not just in our own lives. Let's start doing it for others in Jesus' name. Amen?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.